Welcome to Folio, an actual play podcast about solo and epistolary TTRPGs. I'm your host, Seda, and I'm showcasing multiple possible experiences of self-paced games by inviting guests to play them alongside me so I can compile our stories together. You can support the show financially at patreon.com/foliopod or with a one-off donation at ko-fi.com/foliopod. This is episode 2 of Our Games of This Is Where the Stars Died, a non-linear narrative war game of battles, bots, and body horror by Scott Malthouse. The other two Bastion commanders joining me in the fight against Basilisk are Austin Ramsay and Briar Sovereign. You can find some links to their stuff in the episode description.
Takes me on to Conflict Zone 4.
Let's see after that close call what the fourth conflict is.
Conflict 4.
Conflict Zone 4.
Is a 9 of hearts.
It's a 4 of hearts.
6 of spades.
This is where the snipers pinned us.
This is where hope waned.
This is where it devoured us one by one.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, so again, because I'm not totally sure what I would want to happen here, I'm looking at the mission types, and heart, just like my greater mission, is debilitate. So this could be people being sent in to take something smaller out, or maybe the power source, there's like, you know, capture the flag rules. There's like 3 separate ones that all have to be taken out. And I think this is going to be an attack on one of them. And there will be at least a moment of hopelessness. Hopefully not. We'll see. We'll see how hopeless the waning hope is based on how it goes.
I think narratively, if we're pinned down by snipers, this might be a job for the Emerald Vanguard again. And maybe I should be picking a troop type that could not be pinned down by snipers here, but we're here to play the game. So this is a Vanguard up again.
Who do I want to send in here? Oh, I mean, I did say that the Oathbearers are kind of here because they have, like, a connection to this sort of weird mystic stuff that might be also true of Basilisk. So let's send these Oathbearers in. We don't want our oath bearers losing hope. That's worrying. Mysterious, highly religious troops who venerate the green man. Fascinating. All right.
I think what this is will depend upon the conflict resolution cards. But what I'm imagining is an underground worm that can pop up and swallow individuals. I think while the Iron Knights are catching their breath with the pickets and 2 initial ambushes thwarted, it's decided that Shade Watch needs to be sent in again. I think even the remaining soldiers and spies are eager to prove their capability, that they have a use on this mission. So let's see how they do.
Flip our first conflict resolution card.
We are looking at the 8 of hearts.
2 of hearts for the first conflict card.
Now, as previously established, higher or lower, that's a 50-50 chance. Absolutely no way to interpret it otherwise. But I'm feeling good about lower.
I'm going to guess that the next card is going to be higher.
Lower has lost me 2 battles. But this has also won me 1 battle. And it won me that battle pretty recently. And there's a degree of bias there. So I'm going to go with lower again.
It is a 3. So let's wager that the next one will be higher.
And it's not.
No! It's a 2.
It's another 2.
And I have drawn the 10 of spades because, nothing good can prosper in the face of Basilisk. That is my 3rd defeat.
Ugh. Exact same thing as last time. Shade Watch being overcome one by one. Oh god. Bad mission to be a scout.
I'm trying to decide if I want to spend one of my 2 reinforcements. We're nearly halfway through the mission, so it's not a terrible time to start doing it. But it would also make sense to fail here because of hope waning. I think I'm going to spend a reinforcement, which I'm marking with, I have these 2 little Star Wars ship with a rainbow flag contrail. I'm spending a reinforcement. I'm going to try and play out the hopelessness in a different way. So I have pulled a 9 of diamonds, and that does make this a victory. I think I know what direction that means I'm going to go, but first I'm just going to look up the conflict element tags.
Conflict tags for this defeat, where we'll pin down by snipers. 8 of hearts, that is override. And the 10 of spades, freedom. Well, yes, our freedom has most certainly been overridden by sniper fire.
First one was a 3 of diamonds, and so that is notice. The second one was ultimately a 9 of diamonds, which is body. Ooh, yeah, okay.
2 of hearts, disrupt, and 2 of spades, intelligence. Okay, well, that's exactly what happens here. They were sent ahead to gather intel for the rest of the force, and that plan has been disrupted. Shade Watch continues on ahead. Like I said, they want to regain their honor, prove that they have value. Unfortunately, I think they run into the same thing the first team did. No, there were bodies left by the first team. This is something else entirely. It's an underground worm. They're just people. They don't have vehicles. They don't have heavy armor. They've got pistols. They've got rifles. Maybe they have some optical camo of some variety. None of it saves them. It's massive. It's not huge enough to swallow one of the tanks, or possibly even one of the Iron Knights with their heavy armor. But it is plenty to swallow up a normal person. It bursts from the ground in a spray of dirt and stone. No plants, for the smog has killed all flora in the area. And each time it bursts forth from the ground, there is one fewer member of this Shade Watch team. And then it dives back down into the ground and comes up somewhere else. And they shoot. They realize the pattern. They wait. They're good at waiting. And when it bursts forth and takes another one of them, they open fire. But their guns just can't penetrate its armor. There's nothing here for them. They try desperate attacks. They realize that maybe from inside, they can damage this thing. Sacrifice one of themselves. Pull the pin on a grenade, unload the entire clip on their rifle from inside of it, tear at it with their combat knives. But it becomes apparent that not even that will do the trick. The insides of this thing are armored as well so that it can devour the stone and ore that it travels through. What is a grenade to something that can eat that? And so Shade Watch falls again. Not quietly, they don't disappear this time. But the chaos of it means that the rest of the force doesn't even learn about what this attack represents. They don't know about the worm. They just know that there is something that ambushed Shade Watch again. Is it the same thing? Is it something different? They only learn that it's something different when they catch up to where the battle happened, and there are no Shade Watch bodies this time. Nothing for the machinic virus to animate.
So this is where hope waned. And part of that is actually that we did have to send in reinforcements to get this victory. The Oath Bearers, we were hoping we could just split them up and send a third of them to each power source. But ultimately, a third of them couldn't take it out, and we had to send the whole crew there. So this isn't something that we can do quickly by splitting up. They have to be there, or we have to find different ways to do it. And I think part of that, for looking at the conflict card, like the resolution tags, notice and body, I think the Oath Bearers were like set up. And I think it's like there's this power source in the middle that I'm just seeing this like glowing, pulsing. It's like a crystalline structure, but meaty, right? And it is thumping like a heart beating with this weird crackling sound, and it's like tied into the structure around it. This is probably behind the Leviathan that we defeated earlier, right? Like that gave us the opportunity to go in. And the image is of like there's a circle of Oath Bearers facing in. They're doing like they're doing magic, but I also like they're one of their tags is pistols, and so I love the idea that they're like doing magic on bullets to load into these pistols to shoot it with. That's great to me. And then on the outside, like there's that circle of them facing in, facing this pulsing crystalline heart that has these nerves coming out into the building. And then on the outside, facing out, a bunch of the oath bearers holding their swords, ready to defend. And they notice two things with their bodies. The first is that two of the oath bearers who were back to back, the mystic on the inside and the defender with the sword on the outside, try to step away from each other and they can't. Their bodies are starting to like fuse together. Just where their skin was touching is starting to melt together. They pull apart and it's not like their whole arms come off or anything, but their skin is wounded, it's scraped, pulls apart. And it just becomes more and more obvious that this power, like, it's taking too long for them to get set up, and this power structure is changing them. It's mutating them, it's pulling them in. This is what Basilisk wants to do. It wants to just turn humans into meat product that it can use. And this is happening to them. And they immediately they're like, we need this to go more quickly. Like, we thought that we would have time to sit here and do these rituals 5 times, you know, and shoot it that many times, but we just can't. We need everybody here. We need to do it all at once. We can't be here for this long. And so there is a hopelessness of like, we cannot possibly do this as efficiently as we wanted to, which puts so much more risk on this mission. But I think we do take out this power source. Part of the worry, I think, is that it will regenerate if we don't take all three out, because it is organic, you know, and just can have energy fed into it. And it will probably feed off of us and any of us who die here. So we technically get this thing done, but it is worrying for the future of the mission. I've used 1 of my 2 reinforcements.
So a defeat where the snipers pinned us down with override freedom. I think we sent these troops in to some kind of basilisk structure we'd learned about, where they've been keeping humans captive. A jail, I suppose, of a kind, waiting to process them, waiting to transform them into themselves. We picked up this intel ahead of time, sent the Emerald Vanguard in. You know, you need a human touch to free captives. We can't send the tanks in, we can't send the siege walkers in. We most certainly can't send the Grail Fists in to free people. And we got there and it was a trap. Or maybe it was too late. We got there and we managed to free some people, but the rest of the cells were already empty. They had already been processed, and there was no making it back out of that prison. The second we left, they were on us. The Vanguard are rookies. They, once again, had been sent to something that turned out to be more serious than we thought it was. And they were mulched. And I suppose put straight back into those cells. Straight back into confines to be processed. As mankind is slowly eradicated. Which is not the mission we send out on, unfortunately. Now let's check out my 5th conflict zone.
So we are halfway there. I think that the factory is probably within sight. Or on approach towards it. Let's see what the next conflict zone is.
Conflict number 5 is a Jack of Hearts. Lots of hearts.
8 of Clubs.
The Jack of Spades.
This is where they walked among us.
This is where they bombarded us.
This is where the virus spread. Uh-oh, remember how I was saying that the net terror thing might be contagious over comms or whatever? Uh-oh.
So, who gets assigned to this?
This one I sent the... I haven't used them yet. This is a Siege Walker's deal. Siege Walker's, again, slow missiles, flaming and imposing. Maybe that was supposed to be flamers. Did I read that wrong? Flamers, yes. They're not just on fire. Thank God.
So do I want this to be Shade Watch continuing to retreat, continuing to deal with this? Or do I want this to sort of horrifyingly spread to some of my other troops? I think I'd love to get one of my other troop types on screen, and so this is going to be Shade Watch called to the Dragonhawks, That makes sense to me as like they're like a big transport thing, right? So they the idea that they would be kind of like the base that you call back to report stuff makes sense to me. So I think as Shadewatch was starting to retreat, they called Dragonhawks, who are elsewhere. And I think the conflict that they're having when it happens isn't even that important. They're just fighting Basilisk troops. And they received communication from Shadewatch as they were retreating. And unfortunately, something got transmitted over the radio. And we're about to see what that means.
They walked among us. Oh, maybe this is actually reaching one of the outer prisons. And we actually get to some of the humans that are still alive at this factory. And so this is going to be the Dragonhawks assigned, as the crews jump out of the gunships to load people up into the transports to get them out of the combat area to save them. Unfortunately, not all of these humans are what they seem. So let's get the conflict cards.
So our first conflict resolution card is a Jack of Spades. So I'm going to bet that the next one is lower.
We have the Six of Diamonds, which is kind of in the middle of the pack there. Statistically, a lot of high cards out here. And lower has literally never failed me. So I think I'm going lower again.
Jack of Clubs. Next card, probably going to be lower. Let's hope I'm right, and that the Dragonhawks are able to overcome these infiltrator units.
Got my third ace.
Nine of Diamonds.
Great.
Okay.
So that is, in fact, a victory.
And this is the Eight of Diamonds, which is problematic because that's now my fourth defeat.
Don't want to jinx it, but doing pretty good so far. I'm at 4 victory points, 1 defeat point.
We are looking at 4 defeats and 1 victory, which is a pretty bad forecast as far as the conflict is concerned. We are not really doing numbers here. There's been more successful missions out there.
Thank goodness.
This one, not looking too good.
Which I do want to note, one of the like difficulty altering rules that they offer, if you're finding the victories flowing and want more of a challenge, try these rules. Remove reinforcements. And if a king or an ace is the second element pulled, it's an automatic defeat. If I used those rules, I would have 5 defeat points. They have 4 victory points. 3 of them have been aces and 1 of them used reinforcements. So I am in a specific situation where that difficulty alteration would mean this game is going completely differently. And that's very funny. I don't mind winning in this case. I'm having a lot of fun describing the horrors. So works for me.
But we have conflict tags. 6 of Diamonds, that is increase. And the 8 of Diamonds is grief. There is increased grief here. Yeah. No shit.
Jack of Clubs is prepare. 9 of Diamonds is body. Okay.
Element for a Jack of Spades, defend. And Ace of Spades, threat. Cool. Okay, so I think what that actually gives me is like more of an idea of what the Dragonhawks were doing when the virus started to spread. They are, as the Oathbearers are inside, like, taking that power source down, Dragonhawks are outside trying to, like, minimize the number of defenses that get in to try and stop them. Just, like, hovering above, deploying troops occasionally, but mostly just trying to use their autocannons to, like, take people out, take Basilisk troops out as they're coming up. And what we see from the outside is, like, there's, like, 3 of them that are, like, hovering in the low atmosphere. And one of them just starts, like, they shouldn't be moving almost at all. And one of them just starts kind of jerking around. And then the comms light up with, like, the sounds of panic. And this ship, like, retreats too fast. Like, it pulls way up while some of the autocannons are still shooting, just completely missing their targets, letting a wave through. And I think part of the thing that makes this a victory is that, like, one of the reasons it was able to spread in Shadewatch is that a lot of them have inbuilt tech, like cyberware, and a lot of the troops and even the pilots of the Dragonhawks don't. And so, like, the pilot and some of the crew of that one specific ship, it takes them down. And I think it starts to, it spreads to some of the other troops here on these Dragonhawks that have the built-in tech, but they're not a majority. And so they're able to still like keep things under control. And I think, no, I was gonna say maybe like somebody from Shade Watch like contacts them to be like, hey, we figured out one of the things that works. But I think they don't want to take the risk. And so basically it's just like the people who are starting to freak out. Nobody here knows why. They don't know about this. Like, they might put it together later, because I'm sure that when Shade Watch called, they were like, hey, people got trapped in the net. They might start to put together like, oh, something is attacking our like networked people. But it's not clear yet. But they do see who is freaking out, and they basically just quarantine them by putting them in, like locking them up. And one of the, I think the ship that retreated does actually retreat. Like, it is gone until somebody can take control of it. But another ship moves in to cover where the hole that it left, and they manage to sort of hold their ground and keep going, and it doesn't spread more than it already has.
So the Dragonhawks have medics among them, being the transports, and expecting to have to help out a bunch of likely malnourished and possibly abused prisoners. The Dragonhawks have people to look after them. And before this, while everyone else was continuing their advance, the medics of the Dragonhawks examined what was left of the initial Shade Watch team that was infected by the machinic virus, and they were able to discern some patterns. And so they prepared for this. They administer quick tests, motor functions, memory tests, and they separate out the prisoners into two groups quietly, not letting them know what it is. When asked, they're told that it's a matter of triage. Now, these are the people who need immediate attention. These are the ones who can wait a little bit for help. And so those who are deemed as more dire in terms of needing help, those are loaded onto the initial wave of transports. And the others who are left behind, all those who are infiltrator units from the Basilisk, are told to stay put. They'll be back shortly. And the simplicity of the intelligence controlling humans amongst the prisoners is unable to discern the lies of the Dragonhawks. And the Dragonhawk gunships take off and then turn their autocannons on these crowds of seeming humans. And they do the horrific work of tearing them apart. The prisoners aboard scream in horror. They don't know about the infiltrators, of course. And in their panic, it's impossible to explain to them. Many are restrained, others are sedated, but in the end, they're saved. And there are no casualties amongst the Dragonhawks or the prisoners. Even if the rest of the mission fails, they saved some people.
This is where they bombarded us. This, I think, is one of the first battlefields. This is one of the first cities that fell to the Basilisk. And we sent the siege walkers in to try and retake it, assuming that it was gone, you know, completely taken. There's nothing left here to salvage. Just send the siege walkers in. And it turned out that's not really the case. There were refugees here. There were people staying in the buildings. There were small local resistance cells here. And they bombarded it again to deal with the siege walkers. So people were either crushed by the siege walkers, killed as the buildings were destroyed, killed as the siege walkers were knocked down by the bombardments, or destroyed by the bombardments themselves. The siege walkers never made it to where they were supposed to lay siege to. The city became a death trap for everything in it.
All right, let's see what the next conflict zone is.
As a little reminder, this has been going abysmally. It's a pretty bad situation, frankly, broadly speaking, but there's always a chance we do better. So let's try and do better. That is the 10 of clubs.
2 of diamonds.
4 of hearts.
This is where the ground trembled beneath us. It definitely evokes some kind of like large, like a really big kind of basilisk unit, or some kind of like earthquake or something. So let's play into that. Let's throw the siege walkers at this one. Big versus big.
This is where the dead walked. Ooh. For a little bit of guidance here, looking at the missions, diamonds are capture, find and take an objective, i.e. a piece of tech, an enemy. Cool. So yeah, let's say that somebody is being sent in to specifically capture something. What troops do I want to send in here? Oh, if they're being sent in to capture something, this is the perfect time to bring in my fifth troop type, which is the Valiant Lancers, my weird little bikers with their electric lances. Their tags are Fast Flying Electric Lances. Hell yes. I think that this is actually in reaction to everything that's going on with Shade Watch. They, like, as they're retreating, run into some of these lancers who are just, like, speeding around the battlefield outside, taking people out so that the buildings are, like, less occupied. The base that we're wandering through, which I've apparently established. I think that makes sense. And Shade Watch, like, runs into some of them and is like, hey, we can't use comms at the moment. We think we're compromised. Here's everything that's happened. Can you spare some people to send in and try and just find and take their router, essentially? Like, can you find the heart of the network and bring it to us so that we can figure out how to cure this and get our people back? And the Valiant Lancers love a risky challenge, so absolutely they can send a bunch of troops in to find the router. Yeah.
This is where the snipers pinned us. Okay. I'm assigning the Avalonian tanks to this. If they're snipers, the best way to deal with them is saturation bombardment once you locate where the sniper fire is coming from. I think that the column, the force, comes under attack from the Basilisk snipers, shooting from impossible distances, ranges that no human sniper could reasonably take shots from. But we're not dealing with human snipers, of course. And so we can't seek to deal with them with counter-sniping. We have to just take a hammer to this problem. The tanks roll forward. They raise their rocket batteries. The remaining Shade Watch members are able to triangulate locations from the sniper fire. And then the tanks let loose.
So I'm going to flip my conflict resolution cards.
The first conflict resolution card is a 6.
The 8 of clubs.
10 of clubs. Okay. That's hard.
Going lower has never failed me once. And the numbers look good. So I'm going to go lower.
It'll probably be lower. But this is starting to get slimmer. And I got to remember that I have reinforcements.
Ooh. Slightly more likely that the next card will be higher. So I'm going to do that.
Okay, planning on lower. 6 of hearts. Okay.
Nope, it was a 4.
And it is the Jack of Diamonds. This happens to me every time. That is another defeat. Cool and good.
I don't think I want to spend another reinforcement here, though let me do some quick math. I could still lose. I have 4 victory points, and if this is a defeat, 2 defeat points. And there are 4 missions left. And so if the rest of them are defeats, then I lose. I think that I'm not quite at the coin flip yet. And a 6 is in the middle that, like, re-rolling this, pulling another card, just isn't definitive enough for me to be comfortable doing it. So, gonna take the defeat.
So that is, for the elements, 10 of clubs is altar, and 6 of hearts is remote.
Get the 8 of spades. That is overcome, and the Jack of Diamonds, which is a union. Overcome union. Oof.
6 of diamonds is increase. The tag for the 4 of clubs is force. Oh no, I think some people are gonna get crushed on their bikes.
Alter and remote. Okay, I think I've got what this is. So, this pinning attack from the Basilisk snipers was not meant to be a debilitating assault. It's meant to get our position, to find out where the column is, where the majority of our forces are. The Basilisk knew that we would have to respond with fire support. with something heavy. And so they have their own artillery in place. Airburst fragmentation munitions explode over the Avalonian tank positions, firing downward, and they would wreak havoc on anything lighter than the tanks. However, before the tanks began their bombardment, they moved to a remote location away from the column, specifically so that the column could not be pinpointed. The Basilisk counter battery is a failure. The tanks take damage, but their heavy armor protects them, heavier even than the Iron Knights. And so all that the Basilisk does is waste its needle munitions on these tanks at the cost of its snipers.
This is where the earth trembled and a union was overcome, involving my siege walkers. I think this was a mission on some kind of a planet we knew had become a staging ground for Basilisk. We knew this was a place the forces were mustered, kind of ahead of other missions, and knowing that it was going to be used for that again, knowing that two big major Basilisk forces were going to come together there, going to form up into a single army to strike at a bastion planet. We sent the siege walkers to lead the charge, get there before both of them were there, eradicate one and leave the other weakened. And the earth trembled beneath us. Because I think there was a fundamental something we missed in our intelligence. And it's that one of these Basilisk forces, they had adapted to kind of tunnel through the earth, to shake the earth to pieces, to destroy cities and armies from beneath before anything else could be done. And the siege walkers just aren't really designed for that. The siege walkers are there to lay siege, to fight other huge things, not to be destroyed from beneath. The earth crumbled and broke apart beneath them. They collapsed down into new valleys and holes that were dug and caved away. They were just too slow to do anything about it. And they were easy pickings once they were immobilized. That is failure number 5.
This is where the dead walked. Oh, so the Lancers on their skimmer bikes go in and they're like, we have to find the heart of the network. Let's start by, like, they have to go and look at the Shade Watch troops who were trapped and be like, well, if they're connected to the network, then that will show us sort of where we should go. And they go in, and this is where the dead walked. Those troops were killed. They went deep in the network, and I think their brains just got melted. Their wear overheated. And they were just killed. And that's part of what increased force here means. It increased the force and killed them and also has added them to the troops. And so the Lancers go in to what should be undefended, but it has now been turned into a defended area because the Shade Watch troops that were there have been turned into defenders of it. So I think in part they are just taken by surprise. And I think that, like, I want part of what goes wrong here to be that the bikes get fucked with. And so I think it's like the Valiant Lancers come in and they are like looking at the network stuff and all of the Shade Watch troops are just still laid out. And I think they probably look like they're breathing. They're not. It is just a manual thing that is happening inside of their bodies, moving their lungs or whatever. And then they surprise attack. They all get up. And I think one of the things that they do is they're not scared of dying anymore because they're already dead and they don't feel fear, or they feel only fear. Hard to say. They just shove hands into the hearts of these weird little skimmer bikes and put them totally out of control. A bunch of people just crash into walls and get severely wounded. And they probably would be able to get out still, but they were surprised. And so those people, once they're sort of debilitated, once they're taken down, they are also claimed by Basilisk to be just fed into its weird meat war machine. And it isn't like it's immediate. They can't just be taken over, but they are quickly claimed. And so the thing here, I think, is that some of the Valiant Lancers retreat, and then some of them, in sort of a mirror of what happened to Shade Watch in the network, what got them taken out, is that they're just forced forward. Deeper into the base, but they're lost. Like, they aren't forced closer to their objective necessarily. They are just forced forward, and they're stuck inside, and they're divided. So that's the defeat there. There's my little defeat point.
Now, at this point, I have to think about numbers, because the best I can achieve without pushing at this point is a draw, and you can't really draw on an eradication mission. So I may have to push. I may have to start using the tools in my little tool bag at this point. As we move on to Conflict Zone 7, which is the Five of Clubs.
Let's see what the next card is for Conflict 7. Eight of Spades.
My seventh Conflict card is the Two of Clubs.
This is where we found the prisoners. Oh, great, another prison.
This is where something was stolen from us. Yeah.
This is where our surroundings became a nightmare. I think this is a return of the worms, but maybe a bigger one. They can't trust the ground under their feet.
Let's throw in the Dragonhawks on this one. Critically underused Dragonhawks so far.
What have we got going on? Shade Watch? They're pretty much okay. We could send them to do something else, but they're kind of recuperating and just reassessing what's safe. The Oathbearers took out the one power supply and are kind of moving towards another, I think. The Dragonhawks are defending their backs. The Lancers are like zipping around, trying to keep things defended and also shoved deeper into the base. And there's the Siege Walkers. They don't have as much mobility, and I think they're gonna be slowly heading towards like where they need to set up next. Like, I wonder. Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. So part of it is that the Oathbearers were like, we're gonna be able to do all this simultaneously. Figured out they're not, and so it's going to be longer. And so I wonder if the Siege Walkers like weren't necessarily supposed to redeploy. They were supposed to just be here, and so they are here and trying to figure out like what is tactically. Like, should we stay here, or is there somewhere better for us to, like, be doing support if we're going to be here for longer? And it's just this sort of, like, harried tactical discussion. And it makes sense to me to set up the idea that something could be stolen while that is happening. And so that's why I'm going to deploy my Siege Walkers here. Their tags, again, are slow, missiles, flamers, imposing.
I think it's time for the Valiant Lancers to enter the fray. As these worms appear, the Lancers take to the sky. They wait for the worms to attack because they're the only ones fast enough and armed with heavy enough weapons to respond before the worms disappear back under the ground. The worms may not be large enough to swallow anyone but Shadewatch whole. They can still tear off treads off of tanks, guns off of Dragonhawk gunships, and limbs off of Iron Knights. They are still a threat, even if they can't devour all the forces.
The first conflict resolution card is a Ten of Clubs.
Queen of Diamonds. Okay.
Ten of Spades. Okay. Well, this is probably going to be lower again. Let's hope I'm right. Eight of Hearts.
Going to say that the next card is going to be lower. It is. It's a Seven of Clubs. So a relatively narrow victory for whatever that's worth, but it is in fact a victory point.
Now I'm feeling pretty confident about lower on this one. But I kind of need more than just a win. So I'm going to push here. Before flipping the second conflict resolution card, you can decide to push to try and earn more victory points. To push, in addition to saying if the next card is higher or lower, you also state which color the card will be. On a success, you gain 2 victory points. On a failure, you gain 2 defeat points. So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it correctly. It is going to be lower, and it is also going to be... a black card. It is the King of Spades. The deck is conspiring against me so fervently. I have 2 reinforcements per game, and when I use one, I can flip over a new second card. Which we are going to do. It is going to be lower. It is going to be a black card. It is a 4 of diamonds. That's 2 defeat points for a total of 7. Things are looking grim over here at Bastion HQ. People are not meeting gazes.
I have 5 victory points, 2 defeat points.
That is 5 victories for the humans and 2 defeats.
I could still lose.
Victory appears effectively assured for humanity in this battle.
Can I fucking win this thing even slightly?
However, the costs could still be terribly high. And the possibility of a stalemate still remains.
It isn't a guarantee until I get a 6.
I could pull off 2 desperate stands and a regular victory, yeah. But that's looking unlikely.
What's next? Yes, find the tags for the conflict resolution cards. 10 of clubs, alter. And the 7 of clubs is menace. Yeah, so something was stolen from us. You know, I described that, the Siege Walker pilots were sort of a few of them got out of their mechs to explore the Leviathan. One of the mechs that should be empty starts moving, jerkily, unexpertly, which is dangerous. An expert pilot is dangerous, but so is somebody who doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. And then I think... Yeah, maybe let's say all of the empty mechs, this starts happening. I think it's there's 5 of them at this point. You know, there's 5 people who are still looking around, and then other people have gotten back in so they can start having these tactical discussions and looking around and defending and stuff. But these 5 mechs that should be empty just start moving around, and there's a scuffle. I think one manages to get enough control that it actually leaves. It actually gets away. They're slow, but I think that it manages to stagger into a pit. It literally just staggers over, and it's not going to be in great condition once it hits the bottom, but that doesn't matter for Basilisk, who's taking it, right? They just want the parts, and we can't exactly go down and retrieve it. Maybe even a couple just manage to lurch and stagger and drag themselves and tumble and fall into this pit, and they're just gone. They're taken. They have those parts now. But the other siege walkers managed to take down the 3 other ones that were still figuring it out, and alter and menace. The thing that I'm thinking is once they've been taken out, go over to assess the damage and see who was in there, and no one's in there. It's just that a nervous system has grown incredibly rapidly in the cockpit. It's almost they just threw a seed of something in here, and it just spread, and it's this wet, red, fleshy webbing that's just moving around and trying to snake into the mechanics and figure out, just get into the machine and figure out how to work it. We burn it out. Maybe save one if we can to study, but no, you know what? I'm gonna say that too was stolen from us. The opportunity to understand this was stolen from us. We try to save one, cut off all of the weapons, whatever, and it just keeps growing, and it starts encroaching on the outside of the mech. And we're like, oh, never mind, that will spread. Burn it out. We're not taking this home to study. We do that. Technically a victory, but we did lose some stuff. And it's scary. We don't like it. It's not nice.
So, 10 of spades. Explore. 8 of hearts. Drone. I think I have an idea of what this is. The Lancers release a bunch of drones to assist them in corralling the worms. The drones fly low to the ground and release subsonic shockwaves into the stone, to both detect the worms and also to simulate the sound, the vibrations of footsteps and tank treads, to lure the worms away from the column. It takes a few minutes, but the Lancers are able to herd the worms away from the majority of the human forces. They continue to burst forth from the ground, and the drones dodge and weave to either side, avoiding getting devoured by these machinic worms. And as the drones dodge, able to detect using their underground sensors, their ground-penetrating echolocation, the Lancers respond and dive in. And just barely after the worms have emerged from the ground, they are pierced by the electric lances of the Valiant Lancers, skewered into destruction, one by one, herded into a trap set up by the humans, improvised but effective.
Let's get those narrative elements. So Queen of Diamonds, dislocate, and Four of Diamonds, ground. The ground was dislocated. What the fuck does that mean? The ground was dislocated. I had my Dragonhawks with their heatseeker missiles, their autocannons, and their transport tank. And this is where we found the prisoners. God, I think this was another rescue mission, right? Similar to what conflict zone was that? I think that was Four, where the snipers pinned us. And I think similar to that mission, we found another prison, right? We found these cells, these holes full of people waiting to have Basilisk, like, trained on them, like a learning machine, waiting for them to be converted or changed into something else. We brought the Dragonhawks in, right? Aerial rescue. Land on the ceiling, land on the roof, pick them up, get them out of there. Easy. And I guess in classic conflict zone in this mission fashion, something went pretty horribly wrong. Ground was dislocated. Did they, like, collapse the planet beneath the prison? These same, like, tunneling basilisk creatures we had encountered earlier, whatever kind of machines they had put into use there, tunneled beneath the prison, collapsed it, destroyed the whole thing underneath us rather than let us free anyone. Someone's doing an eradication mission and it is not us. Or at least ours is not going as well as theirs.
So that's going in the report as well. Not nice, and we don't like it. Yucky. End log. This has been Folio, an actual play podcast about solo and otherwise self-paced TTRPGs. To find where you can find the show, check out foliopod.card.co. You can find Austin at Austin Ramsay Games on Blue Sky and Tumblr, and listen to her mega game actual play podcast CallusCon on YouTube or in your podcatcher of choice. You can find Briar at weregazelle.com and royalrabbit.itch.io. You can find Seda, who is me, at gaygothvibes.online and follow me on Blue Sky at posedachips.gaygothvibes.online. Next week, Austin and Briar and I will continue our games of This Is Where the Stars Died by Scott Malthouse, found at trollishdelivergames.itch.io. Everything I mentioned here is linked in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening, and take care out there. Buddy.